Hear the word of the Lord from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. Like a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we are made. He remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it's gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, obedient to his spoken word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Sin is patient. Sin strolls around in broad daylight and waits for us in the dark. Sin is noise that moves in and out of our lives at random, at a moment, deafening. Even so, God assures us that he is present. God's voice follows in the coming moments, a voice filled with grace where you find yourself immersed in silence. The sound of sin is silenced. And then the silence is broken by a motherly voice. The whisper says that my transgressions have been removed. But as difficult as it is to admit, we are not ready to believe. Not yet. The words of that tender voice get bogged down almost immediately. The renewal of forgive and heal is covered by the oil slick of disease and pit. Psalm 103 pictures an ideal world where oppression is sheltered by the righteousness and justice of the Lord. Those in the pit are pulled out by their dirty necks, and God covers their mussed up hair with crown of love and compassion. But all is not well, because those with ears to hear this ancient song know the tune better than they would know. Those with ears to hear Psalm 103 have ears filled with pain. They don't want the wisdom that comes from experience. Keep it. It's yours. Given the chance, they would exchange the cave for the sunshine. And the only reason that verse 4 brings joy to the listener, where God redeems your life from the pit, is because the listener knows what the pit looks like from the inside. You, as the listener, know the depth of the pit, how wide it is, and how damp it smells. God may be slow to anger, but my experience in this hole makes me wonder. And then when we finally get out of the pit, the wind buffets us so badly that we wonder whether we shouldn't return to the comfort of sin. I mean, Egypt was not that bad. Sure, God made His ways known to Moses, but will God do the same for us? How can God be heard when sin uses a bullhorn? Sin is mean. Sin is crafty. Sin is patient. The noise of sin refuses to be ignored, deafening the attention of its prey, interrupting them with this strange allure of phrases that sounds almost truthful. Everything from short sentences like, "Well, what if?" and, "Come on, it's not that bad." To sell out rationalization sometimes concerned more with maintaining the status quo. But God still speaks. God fills the mouths of those who live, helping us to imagine a world where God's love is like a child who spreads His arms as far as possible to shout, "I love you this much." Psalm 103 asks the noise to settle down slowly, as if the noise knows that it needs to hear something that it does not yet know. The tender voice of the poet then speaks. "As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us." Really? When we grab our remote controls for the evening news, sit down in our easy chairs and turn on the world, we do not see the distance between those two points of east and west. All we can see is the space between. The news shapes a story every day, an ongoing drama, while people hone the trade of reporting transgressions. The evening news is good at being bad. It reminds us in an almost godly way that we are dust. So we turn off the broadcast and return to the pit. You know why? Because the pit is familiar. It feels almost like a shelter. Our pride is welcome there in all of its forms. The grace up on the surface is hard to understand. Soldiers were killed today in a faraway place. I mean, shouldn't we resign ourselves to expect that? How could we possibly shoulder the naivete that would dare to pray for peace in a world that looks like this? Did you hear that John and Susan are getting divorced? There was a 10-car pileup on I-20 today. Children were taken hostage yesterday in southern Russia. How do we confront Glenn about his drinking problem? We're tempted to collect trophies of greed. Jerry's teacher caught him in another lie at school. Warlords in Somalia have the whole country held hostage. Egypt wasn't that bad. At least it was familiar. You see, the only problem with reading something like Psalm 103, being lifted out of the pit, is that the surface feels like a 40-year desert where peace avoids me and where sin taunts me from the sidelines. Oppression takes place on the surface too, you know. Is it any wonder that one of the earliest Christian sermons we know is the book of Hebrews tells the church teetering on the edge of the pit to strengthen their drooping arms and their weak knees? God gives us ears to hear a story where youthful vitality is a real thing, mainly because we're old. The odd thing about Psalm 103 is that we need to hear its message whether we are in the pit or on the surface, for it all makes up the landscape of this space between east and west. The message dares us to speak. Whether those around us call it wise or naive, the message we are to speak is whispered in our ears by the poet at the very end. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Then it is shouted from the rooftops, praise the Lord, O my soul. Whether on top of the mountain or deep in the absolute darkest valley, my message is made clear. Praise the Lord, O my soul. We praise not because of what God will do, but because of what God does. God forgives. God heals. God meets lepers and tells them that they can go walk out in the marketplace for the first time. God empties the pit of the guilty and meets them with crowns, robes, and a fatted calf. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all of the oppressed. God makes His divine deeds actually known to God's people. God takes our sin as it laps up against the shoreline of the Atlantic, picks it up, carries it all the way over to the Pacific, and dumps it in. When we grab the remote control and turn on the news, we are reminded, though, of the space between, where those of us reside who are made of dust. Yeah, God, I love the sound of you picking up my sin out of the Atlantic and taking it over to the Pacific and dumping it in, but I don't live on the Atlantic, and I don't live on the Pacific. I live situated in this space between where I'm constantly reminded that I'm made of dust. And those of us who long to hear the message long to hear it somewhere beyond the mere surface of the pit. You know what I think the news needs? Maybe the news needs a prophet at the end of the broadcast, at the end of every one. Go ahead and go all the way through the broadcast, but at the end of the broadcast, get a prophet up there at the very end. Not one who's going to share a human interest story or some cute illustration. The end of the newscast needs a prophet who will dare to imagine a God who redeems people from the headlines, a God who invades the noisy space between. Prophet who will tell us that God resides there as well. And because we reside sometimes in the pit and sometimes on the surface, whatever our lot, our message is still the same. You remember what it is? Praise the Lord, O my soul. The greatest thing about Psalm 103, though, is the way it abandons the original metaphor. Realizing that the space between east and west is not a sufficient description of God's love, the poet just abandons images of all space and time. And then in verse 17, the singers of this original song exchange it for this immeasurable description. Words that would probably go pretty well at the end of just about every news broadcast. God moves among the people to create this new world. God encourages people to say that God's ways are mysterious and helps them to realize that the most mysterious activity of God is grace. God speaks this world into existence where sin is trampled underfoot, where this house of cards built on the table of my pride is shaken and then shaken some more. The world will revolve without my input. I don't have to be God today. And the good news is, you don't either. God is really good at being God. So let God be God. And instead, just join in the chorus and sing, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." That's our line. But without God's benefits, it's going to stop. The world, the broadcasts, the songs, everything. Without God, those words are meaningless. The wisdom of Psalm 103 replaces my need for acceptance with God's compassion. A compassion that God pours out over His children. The listeners and the singers of this original psalm. God takes the young mother whose temper is winning the battle and reminds her that God is able to renew her youth. God speaks a word to the nations and calls their greed into question. God reminds the boss what it was like to be the employee. God gives us health where there is disease, grace where there is resentment, satisfaction where there is apprehension, and peace where there is noise. God settles the dust and invites us to join in the very end of Psalm 103, where angels praise the Lord, where heavenly hosts lead true worship, where rocks and trees cry out the name of the Lord, and where those with ears to hear are lifted up from the pit. And then when we are lifted up from the pit by the very hand of God who takes our transgressions from the east and takes them all the way over to the west, all we have to do is start the song. And you know how the song goes? Praise the Lord, O my soul.